Shalom liyudim, shalom lebnei noach, shalom legoyim. It's the evening of the sixth day, Hei B'Tishrei, Parashas Vayelech, the evening of the fifth day, Thursday, 6 October 2016, webcasting from the most contested piece of real estate on planet Earth. Where today, for the second day in a row, projectiles came flying out of Gaza towards Deirot. And that set off the air raid siren, and for sure, thousands of Jews felt fear as they looked around for shelter to run to. The projectile landed yesterday in the middle of a residential street. The blast sent two Jews into shock, a young girl, I think, and a 60-year-old man. The blast did damages, blew out windows and parked cars. The two victims were scooped up and raced to hospital in Ashkelon, where that hospital has surely since 2001 treated hundreds, even thousands of Jews, terrified by falling projectiles meant to kill them. The IDF went into action, as usual, with counterstrikes launched from flying F-16s. Hamas targets were demolished, but on the return flight yesterday, and the plane's final approach to the airbase runway, something went terribly wrong, and a pilot and navigator pulled the ejection seat handle. The navigator walked away with minor injuries. The plane was completely demolished, and the 34-year-old Jewish husband, father, to a child and another on the way, did not survive. So the IDF also used the tanks outside the Gaza Jurassic Park barrier and opened fire. There are more projectiles today. Where this will lead, no one knows yet. The most contested piece of dry land on the third planet from the sun. It was a normal day. Goyim trying to murder us at random. Even if post-Jewish Israelis don't see it that way. So, enough of this routine, boring news about a Jewish pilot and his distraught wife today. Hardly the first Jewish widow made a widow because the Goyim here like to murder us all the time. I mean, is there a day in Arab Judean Samaria and the Gaza containment facility without at least some Arabians thinking about murdering Jews? About this current flare-up out of Gaza, I'm not aware of any statement from the State Department or White House. What the top story in Israel this morning was the unusually harsh response to the announcement of the building of dwellings for 98 more Jewish families in the community of Shiloh. The J-Post headline was, U.S. slams government intentions to build 98 new homes in Shiloh. And this State Department statement began, quote, we strongly condemn the Israeli government's recent decision to advance a plan that would create a significant new settlement deep in the West Bank, close quote. I love it when anti-Jews employ that expression, deep in the West Bank, because the so-called West Bank is only 50 miles wide. From Seacoast to Jordan River, Shiloh, without traffic on the roads, maybe 15, 20 minutes from Jerusalem. The West Bank is so narrow, using the term deep is just ludicrous. This is like another favorite anti-Jew expression, quote, the Gaza Strip is one of the most crowded places on earth. Really? The population of Gaza and Manhattan are roughly the same. Only Gaza is 5 times larger in area. Manhattan also absorbs millions of commuters every workday via train and subway tunnels and bridges. I don't know, what, 15 million people come in and out every day? So don't cry for me, Argentina. Nobody should be crying over the people in Gaza who have much more living space than the people in Manhattan. Rather, why don't all the anti-Jew bleeding hearts do something about the situation, like offering to take them into their countries, like the Arabs flooding into Europe and the Muslim brother Obama wanting to flood the U.S. with Arabs like them? Israel's not keeping these people cooped up. It's the world, and especially their Muslim Arab brothers. If it's so terrible to be in Gaza, there are 21 Arab states who surely could each one take a percentage and empty out Gaza, give them all citizenship. Of course, that has never happened and never will happen because the Gaza Strip is this wholly artificial rectangle maintained since 1948 to be living evidence of Israel's theft of Palestine from the Palestinians, and never mind that the bulk of the refugees in 1948-49 who went into Gaza had been migrant laborers from all over the Arab world who could flee because they owned nothing, versus the 150,000 Arabs who did have permanent homes and stayed put. No, this Gaza Strip is this Disneyland of anti-Jew acting out. It's there thanks to age-old Jew hatred that keeps mutating and morphing from generation to generation, culture to culture. And the Jews' current basic evil is theft of Palestine for the Palestinians. That's who's living in Gaza. Palestinians who had their country stolen from them. The other day, Fox TV, I think it was, that I saw some commentator, a conservative, enumerate all the places that Muslims have committed their atrocities, you know, Paris, Nice, San Bernardino, etc. But no mention was made of Israel. The idea that these same people here murder us, these Muslims, is not in anybody's head. Here it's different. Here, Islamic violence is not a news story. In any case, the Jews have it coming, don't they? What the evil Palestinian national myth has done is vandalize recorded history. As the Holocaust denier deletes from history evidence of what happened that he does not like because it casts the Jews in the role of victims deserving pity when the Jews are agents of Satan, today's post by PMW records the PA website, you know, those moderate, peace-loving, secular patriots in Fatah, today gussied up as the Palestinian Authority. It was squawking that Israel, this is the website, controls the world. It controls America, and America controls the world. This is functionally Nazi thinking. It's Hitlerian. But don't expect official Israel to tell the world about this, to rebrand these people with that charge of being this generation's Nazis for thinking those thoughts. No, Israel believes officially in the two-state solution, which requires recognition by the Arabs here of our right to a state here that the League of Nations said was the historic Jewish homeland. And it's because of this Israeli behavior Israel gets dumped on by the State Department and the White House for building more homes for Jews in Shiloh, displacing not even one ancient Palestinian on land with no known owner in 1967 when Israel in righteous self-defense drove out the Jordanian army. These are called state lands in history because the property they become the property of the new government to do with these state lands as it wants. I find it fascinating how the United States government, not only the current one, but for years, has chastised Israel for going to live in Judea and Samaria, when the history of the United States of America is precisely that. In the colonial period, every one of the 13 colonies bordered the Atlantic coast on the east, and settlement went no deeper, pretty much, inland than roughly 100 miles up to the Appalachian chain of mountains. But then after the Revolution, as part of the peace agreement with England, the colonists, now Americans, American citizens, would take over land beyond that mountain range all the way to the Mississippi. There was a Southwest Territory marked off and a Northwest Territory that grew into the states of Ohio, Indiana, Illinois, Michigan, and a piece of Wisconsin, I think. President Thomas Jefferson then bought a vast tract of land in the West from the French, strapped for cash. And then came the war with Mexico, which ended with the United States occupying and keeping like 50% of Mexico. This business of denying the right of Jews to live in Judea and Samaria has become a kind of universal principle best expressed by the Secretary General of the United Nations, who every time Israel does something like this says, "This damages the two-state solution." Yeah, the two-state solution. Yeah. That's like these days the Emerald City at the end of the Yellow Brick Road. Peace will break out all over the Middle East and then encompass the world when the Jews end their occupation that is illegal in international law. Palestinian nationalism has become this generation's profoundly dishonest successor to classical anti-Jewism. It's this generation's version of the deicide charge, or the accusation that Jews are basically vampires who are required to murder goyim and suck out their blood.
Lie, 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 של משה מעיני בשר ודם מפני שגלוי וידוע לפני הקדוש ברוך הוא שעתיד את המקדש לחרב ולהגלות את ישראל מארצם שמא יבוא לקבורתו של משה באותה השעה ויעמדו בבחייה והתחננו לפני משה ויאמרו לו משה עמוד בתפילה בעדינו עמוד בתפילה בעדינו ועומד משה ומבטל את הגזרה ועומד משה ומבטל את הגזרה שמעיני בשר ודם מפני שגלוי וידוע לפני הקדוש ברוך הוא שעתיד בית המקדש לחרב ולהגלות את ישראל שעמוד בתפילה בעדינו עמוד בתפילה בעדינו ועומד משה ומבטל את הגזרה ועומד משה ומבטל את הגזרה
Yeah, the United States government, the de facto world government, the United Nations, all 193 member nations, oppose the building of more homes for Jewish families in Shiloh. And, of course, leftists and liberals in the West, especially the post-religious American Jews, believe that's right. It was reported that Jeremy Ben-Ami of J Street is going to spend $500,000, surely given to him by George Soros, to support congressmen who voted with Obama on the Iran scheme. and to, you know, bless the eventual construction of atomic bombs to menace Israel with. Today's anti-Israel Jewish leftists object to more homes for Jews in Shiloh. They may have enjoyed watching Steven Spielberg's entertainment for pre-adolescent boys called Raiders of the Lost Ark. But do not object when World Anti-Jewry says Shiloh must be Yudnein. And that's where the Ark, in Raiders of the Lost Ark, the Ark of the Covenant, had rested for over four centuries before the creation of Jerusalem as the national capital and the site of the temple. And it wouldn't hurt for an Israeli leader to protest to the world, to Obama and Kerry, that it is obnoxious in the extreme to deny to us Jews the right to live in peace, bothering nobody in Shiloh. Legendary Shiloh, where the Philistines got the upper hand and stole the Ark and kept it for 7 months. Well, we got it back. While it's not true that today's Arabs here are descendants of the Philistines, they are, in their delusional universal claim to be that, and in truth, they do seem to be at least spiritually Philistine-like. The Philistines, in their primitive universe, imagined the Ark contained some kind of magical power that anyone could use if they got their hands on it. In truth, the contents surely mystified them. Just two slabs of stone, etched with words, that required much effort to obey and learn from and organize a society around. No magic there. Likewise, today's Arabs have stolen Zionism by claiming that this real estate is no less their ancient homeland, too. In fact, they steal the right to this land, claiming it's their ancient homeland, and the Jews have stolen it from them. And guess what? Most of the planet that has an opinion about our country agrees. This is why Ban Ki-moon keeps protesting that Israel is destroying the two-state solution, as does John Kerry, the grandson of apostate Kohanim, a direct descendant of the first high priest, none other than Aaron, brother of Moses. John Kerry says that Israel cannot sustain the current arrangement forever. And Barack Hussein Obama, named for the second Muslim victim of political assassination, or religious assassination, thinks so too. It's really amazing how many commentators and interested pro-Israelites have expressed their fear that the MBA, the Muslim Brotherhood agent in the White House, is champing at the bit to stab the Jews in the back at the UN. With a resolution, and with Muslims, that expression, stab in the back, is no mere metaphor. So that was the top story in the Jerusalem Post today. U.S. slams government intentions to build 98 new homes in Shiloh. And really, eventually, another 202 beyond that for the long-range plan for this extension of Shiloh is 300 new homes. And for that, the planet is angry. Of course, the top story over the last week in Israel, since the last webcast, was the funeral of Shimon Peres, and in attendance, Mahmoud Abbas, a Jew killer. It was reported today that Abbas came at the insistence of Peres' daughter, who spoke the Kaddish aloud and added the Reform Jewish ending, meant to communicate to the world that we Reform Jews are not like those cliquish and clannish Orthodox Jews who care only about themselves. She added some words about the whole of mankind. Most of my life in Reformed temples, I would hear the rabbi declaim, as the Sefer Torah was removed from the Ark, that it was given to the Jewish people, and through the Jewish people, to all mankind, when there's nothing in the Torah that says this. Reformed Jews, you see, are have your cake and eat it too, Jews. They identify with Israel when it is praised, and identify with Israel's bashers, too. Their last wish is to be a people that dwells alone. And this tension was on display at the funeral because Peres' daughter insisted that Abbas be there. And to remind that this murderer continues to preside over PA media, broadcasting classical homicidal Jew hatred, glorifying the Arabs who stab us and are killed in the act, calling them martyrs. This inviting of Abbas to the funeral by Shimon's daughter speaks volumes of his and her fidelity to their leftist self-image as enlightened people, rather than face the reality of our neighbors as chronic murderers of us. Also repugnant was the reaction of certain Israeli politicos who lined up to stretch out their hands to shake hands with Abbas. I found that simply disgusting. Thankfully, both Justice Minister Ayelet Shaked and Minister of Education Naftali Bennett, both belonging to the Jewish Home Party, objected to those who lined up to shake his bloody hand. What is expressed in this behavior is the dream of peace, and that's how Paris was eulogized. What beautiful ideals he had. The ideal of peace. And this is the left at its most obnoxious. Like the Peace Now group, who declare that those who want peace must now give the victims of Zionism what they demand, and if you don't do that, you don't want peace, you are a warmonger. This is the mind of the left. There's no logic, there's no fact that they resort to. No thinking, really. They're just moral posturing. And one terrible consequence is the trampling on the truly virtuous ethic that requires the killing of this man. This was a basic fatal flaw in the minds of the Oslo dreamers. They believed that Israel, if it was nice enough to Arafat, Abbas, etc., it would be possible to get virtually, alchemically, to transform them from vicious terrorist butchers into nice, friendly, cooperative neighbors. Yeah, there is a profound self-aggrandizement here in the works in thinking that Israel could turn these brutes into civilized neighbors. What was also nauseating was the invasion of the country for the funeral by the leaders of 70 nations, just as the Torah speaks of the world's 70 nations, and we will recall that on Sukkot by the number of sacrifices called for. On the surface, these 70 nations came to pay their respects to Shimon and his ideals, but underneath they were lobbying for the two-state solution, meaning the driving of hundreds of thousands of Jews from their homes. That's something that Goyim have done to us generation in and generation out.
כשהוא מגיע והוא שואל ממש שבריר שנייה לפני שהוא פועל אתה לא חייב ראשון להגיע אתה לא צריך לרוץ מהר רק להיזכר בזה של ביטחון מופרז כזה.
You're listening to www.deprogramprogram.com, broadcasting from the hills of Judea. I'm Shai Ben-Tekoa. So, yes, the U.S. and the U.N. are angry that more Jewish homes for Jewish families will be built on barren land, displacing no allegedly aged Palestinian, because, judging by their own words, they are slaves to the idea that the land in question is indubitably the rightful possession of the archaic Palestinian people. It's a given. It is an internationally recognized fact and truth that this land does not belong to Israel but to the Palestinians. And yours truly says this is more acting out of the subterranean anti-Judaism active throughout history. Where is it written that the land on which Shiloh sits is rightfully the property of this nation called Palestinians, absent from all historical record of the land in question? These people are delusional. Here's a letter from the J-Post last week. The writer lives in British Columbia. He wrote, quote, Shimon Peres was the best of Israel. Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu exhibits Israel's worst. Removing the long-overdue Israeli occupation of Palestine and allowing the Palestinians to have their own country at this historical moment would be a magnificent way to honor Peres' legacy of peace and justice, close quote. His what? His legacy of peace? Shimon Peres did not bequeath peace to Israel, but murder and mayhem. This fellow confuses a wish that it were so with the facts that it's not so. And as for his legacy of justice, the League of Nations determined that Palestine, the League would bring into existence because there never had been a Palestine under the Muslims, was the historic homeland of the Jewish people. The League said nothing of it being the historic homeland of a Palestinian people. Indeed, the leader of the Arabs here at the time when the mandate kicked in 1922 insisted there was no such country as Palestine. It was all Syria, he said, and its capital was Damascus. Versus today, when such as this anti-Jew letter writer is absolutely certain, Israel is an occupation of Palestine. As if that has to end when the League blessed Israel's occupation of Palestine. What is wrong with the Zionists occupying Palestine when that is exactly what the League mandated to happen? What's going on here is what has always been going on. People like this letter writer don't like Jews and don't like their claim to Eretz Yisrael, which is ultimately a religious claim. And it is as fascinating as it is tragic that so many Israelis play along with the vocabulary that the enemies of Israel have imposed on the whole world. The Jerusalem Post, the National TV, Yediot, Haaretz all refer to Judea and Samaria as the West Bank. And why? Because they're not religious themselves and understand at some level of awareness that this is a religious conflict, and they don't want to fight for that. Shimon Peres was paid homage by 70 Goy leaders, starting with the notorious enemy of Israel, Barack Obama, because all those who did praise him for his conversion, shall we call it, His apostasy, he originally had been a security hawk, but eventually saw the light, that the Ancient Ones are the true owners of Judea and Samaria, and driving hundreds of thousands of Jews from their homes is the right thing to do.
יכבוש את כל העולם בלי ירייה אחת, בלי ירייה אחת. משיח יכבוש את כל העולם בלי ירייה אחת, בלי ירייה אחת. כי עיקר כלי זינו של משיח הוא התפילה. כי עיקר זינו של משיח התפילה. משיח יכבוש את כל העולם בלי ירייה אחת, בלי ירייה אחת. כי עיקר בלי זינו של משיח התפילה. כי עיקר כלי זינו של משיח התפילה. על כן מי שרוצה לזכות לקדושת ישראל באמת, צריך להרבות בתפילות ובקשות ושיחות בינו לבין קונו. כי זה עיקר הכלי זין לנצח המלחמה. כי זה עיקר הכלי זין לנצח המלחמה.
Last item, J Post on Sunday had a headline that read, quote, "Peace Now decries plans for 98 settler homes in Shiloh," close quote. And I ask, why not Peace Now decries plans for 98 Jewish homes in Shiloh or 98 Israeli homes? This business of calling us settlers and not seeing in us fellow Israelis and fellow Jews is another indication of the chronic Achilles heel of the Jewish people, the desire to reject the identity that the Lord of the universe has given us. Okay, that's it for this Thursday after Rosh Hashanah, and I'll be back, God willing, on Sunday. Until then, Laila Tov, v'Shabbat Shalom, Me'eretz Yisrael.